This is The Takeaway. Welcome back to the program. Let's start with what appears to be a drama unfolding in Libya. The White House has confirmed the death of U.S. Ambassador to Libya Chris Stevens and three others after an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. We understand that protesters gathered to express anger over a film they say ridicules and insults the Prophet Muhammad. Now, this is a film that was produced in the United States. Not exactly sure by whom, but protesters there extremely angry about the video turned out at the consulate to protest, and then it turned violent. President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have both condemned the attack. Here's what one protester had to say, asked why he was demonstrating.
Americans want to say something bad about Prophet Muhammad. Don't make our people angry, because they will kill, they will fight, they will do such a situation. This is the situation because of the Americans' channels. They want to say something bad about our Prophet.
David Kirkpatrick is Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. David, how did Ambassador Stevens die?
Well, we know that he died in an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi last night. Angry over this video, 14-minute video trailer that demeaned the Prophet Muhammad, an angry mob stormed the consulate. Some of them were armed with machine guns and others with rocket-propelled grenades. And apparently it was a rocket-propelled grenade that hit the embassy or the consulate building that resulted in his death and a death of a few of those with him. And that's all. That's all we can say for sure right now.
And what about the situation in Cairo, in Egypt, to the east?
Well, yesterday, a pretty substantial crowd moved on the U.S. embassy here in an angry protest motivated by the same cheap, amateurish, slapstick video degrading the Prophet Muhammad. And what was notable about that protest here, where protests outside the U.S. Embassy are routine, was partly its size, but also that the protesters managed to scale over the wall around the embassy compound. So they got into the garden, they pulled down an American flag, they burned the flag, and they strung up a black flag labeled with the sort of Islamic creed, you know, there is no God but God, Muhammad is his prophet. Really, those events looked newsworthy as they were happening yesterday, but they now pale in comparison with the events in Benghazi. I mean, the death of an American ambassador abroad is something that has only rarely happened in American history, and not since 1979 in Afghanistan, I believe. So that's going to be a real blow, a real challenge for the Libyan government, for Libyan-American relations after the revolution. And I think it's also going to make a lot of Americans reconsider even more deeply their hopes for the whole Arab Spring uprising. I mean, I think people are going to wake up and say, whoa, you know, what's going on here?
And what about this in the context of the Arab Spring uprising? I'm glad you brought that up, David Kirkpatrick. Does this point up the fact that so many people on the ground in countries that we've helped, or at least that Americans perceive that we've helped, still have so many people who are anti-American? What does this really say about the reality on the ground in a place like Libya?
Well, I mean, there's 3 points. Regionally, people hate the U.S. for well-known reasons involving the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and American policy in Israel. After that, it's on a case-by-case basis. In Egypt, you add to that litany of criticisms U.S. support for Mubarak. In Libya, you subtract from it vigorous support for toppling Gaddafi. And when many Libyans now are noting the irony that Chris Stevens, the ambassador who was killed in this attack, was actually on the ground and actively helping the rebels and very much respected by many of the rebel leaders in Benghazi during the uprising. So he's someone who they considered a hero to their cause. And I think even among, you know, the most the people who are angriest over the video, they're now thinking, oh, my goodness, what have we done? And I think that's really the feeling on the streets around Libya, as far as I can tell. The democratically elected government there is falling all over itself to apologize to the American people and indeed to the whole world, and to emphasize its solidarity with the United States in this matter and its determination to go after the criminals. I mean, this points out something we've known for a while about Libya, which is that since the fall of the Qaddafi government, they have not yet been able to put back in place any kind of effective police force. And at the same time, everybody's got a gun, and a lot of people have rocket-propelled grenade launchers. And so you've got, you know, although most people are quite supportive of positive relations with the West and eager for them, especially from a trade point of view, you got a handful of people here and there running around as sort of politicized Islamist brigades, and who knows what they're thinking. And some of those people decided to take out their anger over this video on the U.S. Embassy, and I just think there's going to be a lot of regret today around Libya that they actually took the life of Christopher Stevens.
Well, that makes me want to ask you if we're reasonably sure, given that regret, if it indeed materializes, if we're reasonably sure that the mob that killed the ambassador and three others were sort of a flailing, angry, heated-up mob and not people acting at the point of a spear of some political interest that's anti-American and wanted Chris Stevens dead or wanted to make a point.
Well, as I said, around the region and in Libya, there are plenty of people who have well-known grievances against the U.S. government for its policy in the region. But to me, it's telling that an Islamist group that last night was reported to have taken credit for this came out this morning and said, no, we're not responsible. A group called Ansar al-Sharia, supporters of Islamic law. I mean, really, you know, I don't know what, who knows who did it, because I think right now there's any number of small, homegrown Islamist groups running around calling themselves Ansar al-Sharia around Libya. But it's telling that a group that has said, hey, you know, we're militant Islamists, is now saying, look, we didn't do this, we want no part of this. And I think that tells you just how, you know, how this is going to play in Libya in the coming days.
David Kirkpatrick, Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner in the New York Times. Thanks, David.
Always a pleasure.
To get a better idea of the situation in Benghazi, Libya, I've been speaking to English teacher Siraj Alalam. He teaches in the city. Just before we came on the air, he told me more about where the attacks took place.
The embassy is located in a very central neighborhood in the city of Benghazi. There are quite a few shops around it and residential houses and a lot of traffic going in and out. It's really shocking news. We've been following it since last night, and honestly, the way it's been, the news have been escalating is just shocking to all of us. That and honestly, no one could have imagined yesterday afternoon that it could in any way reach this size.
Now, we've seen reactions this morning from the Libyan government apologizing profusely for the attacks. We're led to understand that there may be quite a bit of regret because Chris Stevens, the U.S. ambassador, was actually somebody who was known to Libyans and quite popular for being on the ground opposing Muammar Gaddafi. Is that your sense, that maybe this was a flash of furious anger because of this video, but there might be some regret the next day?
I think there will be a lot of regret, and there has been a lot showing up already. Not just from the officials and the government. Even the people have been showing a lot. There are a lot of pictures floating around. They have been floating around the internet for a while of Ambassador Chris Stevens going around meeting with everyday Libyans. You know, having traditional Libyan food or going to, you know, popular Libyan spots, if you say. And we've seen them floating around before, and people felt that, you know, they were looking at these pictures and saying, you know, how that he's a very nice man, down-to-earth guy, you know, helpful, friendly. And they're just coming up now again, and people are speaking, you know, with a lot of regret and negativity about the bunch that did these unspeakable acts yesterday in the embassy.
Our thanks to Siraj Alalam, English teacher in Benghazi, who spoke with us just a little bit earlier. We now want to welcome back to The Takeaway P.J. Crowley, former State Department spokesman, now professor at George Washington University. P.J., hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on the air with us. P.J., David Kirkpatrick of The New York Times suggested just a couple of minutes ago that there was likely to be significant regret in Benghazi, that Ambassador Stevens was well-liked and considered a hero of the anti-Qaddafi movement, the rebel movement. What's your take on the view of Ambassador Stevens there?
Yeah, well, I agree with all that. You know, he was – we did not insert boots on the ground at the start of the – rebellion, which started in Benghazi back in early 2011. But among those individuals, both diplomats and intelligence individuals that we did insert to act as a liaison between the United States and NATO, and the National Transitional Council, which has morphed into the new government in Libya, Chris Stevens was one of those people. I think clearly he probably undoubtedly felt that he was in greater danger last year and this year, but obviously he becomes a victim of the new Libya.
PJ Crowley, there is an attachment of U.S. Marines headed towards Benghazi, as we understand it. Is that typical in a situation like this? It raises the question why more Marines weren't there in the first place, I suppose.
Well, first, you're talking about a consulate, not the embassy in Tripoli. There are Marines stationed in Tripoli. Second, the deployment of a FAST team is standard procedure where either you anticipate violence or, in this case, we've been victimized by violence. I think the security of an embassy has multiple prongs. There are Marines inside the fence, but the security of an embassy or consulate diplomatic post outside the fence is the responsibility of the host nation government. And Libya is in transition. As is Egypt and other countries, where you've had a police force in place previously that was there to prey on the population. It takes an enormous amount of time to transition and reform those institutions to be able to provide security for a population, in this case also for a diplomatic post. So it's certainly there probably should have been more security there, but I think it just is a reflection of the struggle that Libya will have for a number of years to build up the institutions of government that we here in the West take for granted.
Former State Department spokesman PJ Crowley. PJ, as those Marines head to Benghazi, one wonders, we've seen protests in the past in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, that tend to escalate, especially when perceived offense to the Prophet Muhammad or Islam is one of the issues. People have to be concerned about escalating violence in the days to come.
Well, there's that possibility. By the same token, I hope there will be a sober response within Libya and within the region. To an extent, this is a fight over the relationship between the Middle East and the modern world. Not just the reaction to this latest film, but we've been dealing with the aftermath of the Danish cartoons for a number of years. And will the region come to an understanding with the modern world where they're going to see on the internet things that they don't like? It's one thing to protest. It's another thing to violently react. And so it would be very interesting to watch the reaction within the region to what has happened here, because as David pointed out, there's no greater friend to Libya, than Chris Stevens.
We will be keeping our eye on the situation there. PJ Crowley, former U.S. State Department spokesman, thanks for joining us for an update on the situation in Benghazi.